Chapter 9. To the East. Lima sat on the plane to West Berlin and wondered again why things had changed. Why had his defection been discovered so soon? Control knew, because Control had done this, but Lemus did not know. He also remembered Control's advice when he had stayed at his house for the weekend.
Get angry. Drink a lot. Confuse them by telling them that something is true one day, then telling them that the same thing is not true the next day. Make them work hard to get your information. Make them believe they have worked out that Mundt has betrayed their side to us. They already have information that we gave them before you became involved. You are taking them the last parts of the story.
After the plane landed, Peters led Lemus quickly through the airport to a big black car which was waiting in a car park. After they got into it, a smaller car pulled out of the same car park in front of them. Both cars moved quickly through the streets of Berlin, and Lemus was surprised at how easily they crossed out of the west and into the east. Lemus thought that they would stop in East Berlin, but the car kept moving.
"Where are we going?" he asked Peters.
"We're here," replied Peters. "We are in the German Democratic Republic."
"I thought we would go further east, to Russia," said Lemus.
"The East Germans want to talk to you," said Peters.
Lemus nodded his head, and Peters continued,
"I sent your information to them, and they are interested in it. They've never talked to anyone with your knowledge before."
"Who will interrogate me?" asked Lemus. "I know the names of most of the people in the East German Secret Service."
"Who do you think that you will meet?" replied Peters.
"Fiedler, who works for Mundt," said Lemus.
Lemus thought back to what he had learned about Fiedler. Lemus remembered that Fiedler had lived in Canada during the war, so he spoke good English. The photographs had shown a thin young man with dark hair and intelligent brown eyes. He was a man who worked alone and whose colleagues did not like or trust him. He remembered what Control had said. "Fiedler hates Mundt, and he is as clever as Mundt. He'd like to get rid of Mundt, so he is the person who is most useful to us. You will make him believe that Mundt is a double agent working for us, but you mustn't make it obvious." Finally, the car arrived at a farmhouse and stopped outside it. By now it was night, and in the light of the moon, Lemus saw two men get out of the small car, which had also stopped. He could also see a thin man sitting in the back of it. Peters took Lemus into the old farmhouse, which smelled like a place where nobody lived. He and Lemus sat down in a room with old, dark-coloured furniture and photos of Soviet leaders on the walls. After a few silent minutes, the door opened and a short, thin man came in, carrying a bottle of whiskey and two glasses. He was wearing a dark blue suit that looked too big for him.
"Hello," he said to Lemus. "I'm Fiedler. I'm glad to see you. You've reached the end of your journey."
"What do you mean?" asked Lemus quickly.
"I mean that you're not going any further east. Sorry."
Lemus remembered something Control had said.
"Make them dislike you, and then they will believe what you tell them more."
So he pretended to be very angry. Lemus turned to Peters.
"Is this true?" he shouted angrily. "Tell me!"
Peters nodded.
"Yes, we, the Soviet Secret Service, agreed to help our friends in the East German Secret Service and bring you here."
Lemus shouted at Fiedler,
"You knew I wouldn't defect to a little unimportant place like the GDR. That's why you send a Russian."
"We had help from the Russians to take you to Holland," said Fiedler. "In fact, we didn't want to bring you to East Germany. But we didn't know that your colleagues in Britain would find out about your defection so quickly. We had to do it because there are still things that you haven't told us."
Then Fiedler said something in Russian to Peters, who nodded and stood up.
"Goodbye,"
Peters said to Lemus. Lemus did not answer.